Our lesson is taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 21. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the first fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and those who will have to give an account. Let them do with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you, the more you earnestly to do this, in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everlasting good, that you may do this will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Would you please stand?
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the 23rd verse. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves their life loses it, and whoever hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, they must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor them. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The Gospel of Christ.
Where you're standing, let's pray. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place with yourself. Open our ears and open our hearts so that in the written word and in the spoken word we might know your living word, Jesus Christ, for our good and for his glory. Amen. Would you please be seated? What would you risk if you knew you couldn't fall? What would you risk if you knew you couldn't fall? There's a prayer that is a part of the morning prayer service that my husband and I pray together, and it quotes Psalm 63. My soul clings to you, your right hand holds me fast. And I love this line because it holds for me the image of a little child clinging to its parent. My soul clings to you. But as that little child is clinging to the parent's arm is also around the little child. Your right arm holds me fast. I guess it'd be this way. And the idea is that it doesn't matter how tight the little child is clinging, they're still secure. The parent is holding them fast. Your right arm upholds me. We've come a long way since we began the book of Hebrews, and now we come to the last chapter, and we've covered a lot of ground. The preacher has preached one humdinger of a sermon, you might say, to the Jewish Christians who are undergoing persecution and considering leaving their faith. He's brought his listeners through a whole theological treatise on why Jesus is better. How Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's love and mercy. How Jesus brings us into the holy place with him. How he is worthy of all our devotion. Hold on, the preacher is saying. Keep running this race of faith, this agonizing journey, because all that pain and all that hardship will someday shake away, and we will inherit an unshakable, beautiful kingdom. So hold fast, because we are being held fast. Today, in the last chapter of Hebrews, the sermon is over. The sermon ended at the end of chapter 12, and the preacher is now throwing a whole bunch of thoughts out at his listeners. And it's kind of like a coach at the end of gym practice, as people are packing up their bags and changing and so on. And he's saying, do your stretches and don't forget to eat your greens of this week and like hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. And remember, race day is coming. And by the way, have a good weekend. See you on Monday. It feels random, like a whole bunch of random things scattered at the wall, but it's not actually, because each of these things is contributing to the mission, to the goal of being able to run that race. All of these little independent things together help his students run their race. Or it's like our announcement time at the end of the service. The announcements may feel unconnected to the sermon, but they aren't unrelated because they are the ways that we act out the faith that we have been speaking about in our sermon. Ways to live into the good news. So what does the preacher, the coach, think is worth mentioning in the announcements? What is worth encouraging his listeners to lean into as he sends them on their way? If Jesus is our high priest, our anchor in the heavenly places, holding us secure in the presence of God, if we are equipped with everything we need to run this race of faith with endurance and courage, if we're receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, if we're held fast in the arms of our loving Father and can't be dropped, what does our life of faith look like? I think there are three loose categories that we can group the preacher's encouragements today, and I encourage you to follow along in your bulletin or in your Bible, because it does go a lot of places today. And I think those three loose categories might be risky love and steadfast trust and faithful sacrifice. Risky love, steadfast trust, and faithful sacrifice. And as we move through these three categories this morning, one of them may be more relevant to you than the others. The Holy Spirit may be encouraging you to lean into one more than the others. And so listen for that. Where is God asking you to lean in as you are secure in His love? Risky love. What does risky love look like? The preacher tosses out a whole bunch of different aspects of love. Mutual love, he begins with. Those who are in the community of faith, it literally is brotherly love or brotherly and sisterly love. It's love for members of the family of God. Love for the stranger, for those we don't know. Love for those in prison, those we don't see. Love for those in our own households and those in our own beds. As we're held fast in the love of God, what does risky love look like? I love the story of the Bishop of Digne at the beginning of Les Miserables. Maybe some of you know this. He lives with his sister and his housekeeper, and they keep urging him to put locks on the door. And he keeps saying, no, I don't want to. And one night they're about to eat supper, and a man shows up at their door and introduces himself as Jean Valjean, a convict, and he asks to be let in. And the bishop's response is to the housekeeper, go set another place at the table. And Valjean looks at him and he says, didn't you hear me? I'm a galley slave, I'm a convict. Look, here's what they put in my passport. Jean Valjean is extremely dangerous. Everyone has kicked me out. Would you put me up? And the bishop's response is to the housekeeper, put sheets, clean sheets, on the bed. And then he says to Valjean, you didn't have to tell me who you were. This is not my house. This is the house of Jesus Christ. You are suffering. You are hungry. You are thirsty. You are welcome. What do I need to know your name for? Besides, before you told me your name, you had one that I knew. And Valjean opens his eyes in amazement. You knew what I was called? Yes, says the bishop. You were called my brother. The bishop was willing to risk his safety and the safety of his household and his belongings because he knew that that wasn't what was of eternal importance. He had an unshakable safety in the kingdom of God. Risky love may look like this for some of us, and for some it may not because of various circumstances. For others, it may take on a different shape. It might look instead like a willingness to move outside our comfort zone, to extend love to others in our own household of faith, to our fellow believers, our fellow churchgoers. As we grow in numbers here at Little T, it becomes a lot easier to avoid those that we might have conflict with or those that we don't know and simply to congregate with our friends, to catch up with our loved ones. So what would it look like to show love to strangers here in our own midst or elsewhere with the trust that God is holding us fast, to step across the aisle towards someone with whom we disagree, and extend a hand of invitation? Or what does it look like to show a risky love to those who are persecuted for their beliefs? The preacher is likely talking about Christians who are imprisoned for their faith. But he doesn't close the circle with them, and he doesn't specifically say that. He just says, remember those who are in prison and those who are mistreated for their belief. And this is an increasingly important question in our polarized world. Where might we be invited to risk loving those under attack, even when they don't share our faith? Secure in the knowledge that we are being held. We are loved. Where can we hold out a hand to someone on the other side of the divide and say, I see you. I will love you. I always find it inspiring when people of different faiths reach out to protect each other. And there are multiple examples. One being in Copenhagen in 2015, when a synagogue was attacked and Muslims surrounded the synagogue to protect those inside. Risky love. Maybe the risk for you this morning is more personal. Maybe it's in your own household. And maybe the preacher's gentle word to you today is simply an encouragement that sometimes holding fast to Jesus means clinging to him in order to love your spouse when you aren't getting along. Or maybe it's for those who aren't married to live out your sexuality with honor when there are other easier options available. Cling to Jesus because you are being held fast. Let him equip you with everything you need. It is safe, ultimately, to love riskily because Jesus does hold us fast. Maybe you have been practicing this kind of risky love, and the invitation this morning is more about trust. Maybe it's just that you need to hear a word of trust this morning. And the preacher moves from these practical aspects of risky love into the practical aspects of trust. Trusting, first, not in the security of money, but the security of God. And I know for some in this congregation, finances are a real burden. And on both ends of the spectrum, maybe they are a burden because you have so much you don't know how to be faithful with it. And you want to and you long to and you just want God to help you in that. Or maybe they are a burden because you don't have enough and you are struggling to pay the rent this month. And I know that we have this stretch of people here. And so what does it look like to trust God as our helper in this? Because he will never leave us or forsake us, the scripture says. And he's inviting us to release our fear, to release our hold on money to him, because he is holding us. There's another aspect of trust that the preacher tosses out, and one that was relevant for his congregation 2,000 years ago as they were trying to decide whether to hold on to Jesus or to go back to their old way of life or maybe to find something different. And I think that is equally relevant for us today. Trust the message. Trust that the message preached to you is reliable. I was in conversation recently with somebody who excitedly told me that new information had come out about Jesus and Mary Magdalene. They had an affair. I don't actually believe this, by the way. But they were very excited about what implications this might have. And this might be familiar to you from Dan Brown's novel or other places. They were digging into the Gospel of Thomas, and they were thinking maybe the church has got it wrong. Maybe the church has been hiding some great truth for centuries, some great truth that would change the way the world is. And I get it, because when the world is hard and all we want is something that would make it right again, it can be tempting to think that there's something out there that maybe we missed. Maybe there's a secret or a conspiracy, something that's not telling the whole truth. Maybe there's a better answer. And that's the point of what the preacher is saying and has been saying through the whole book. This is the answer. This message is enough. This is all we need. You can trust the message passed down by your leaders, that Jesus lived and died and rose again and ascended into heaven and is seated there interceding for the saints, welcoming us into his presence. There is no need to look for new or strange or diverse teachings. We can trust that that path to Mount Zion is the path to life. We can stake all our hope on this, the preacher says. And not just because we know it and we taste it, but because we can see the outcome of the way of life of those who passed that message on to us, the apostles. We know that they suffered for their faith, but we know that their faith produced great fruit. So don't be distracted by the old. Don't be distracted by the new. If you are tired and if you are scared and if you are longing for encouragement, the invitation today is hold on. Jesus Christ, for the joy set before him, and that joy is you, the joy of bringing you into the holy place with him, he suffered outside the gate and he sanctified you once and for all. And it is safe to put our trust in him and to hold on. Or maybe the word that you need to hear today from the preacher is that the sacrifices that faith calls for and the reproaches that come with bearing Jesus' name are worth it, because we have a city that is unshakable to look forward to. For some around the world, the reproaches of bearing Jesus' name may be imprisonment and may be death. More often here in the West, the sacrifice is not dying for our faith, but living it day by day in all the little ways. And some days that can feel very hard, as the tiny daily sacrifices of faith add up and they start feeling like a burden that is too heavy for us to bear. The sacrifice of praising God when it is gray outside and cold outside and it has been a long winter and the world feels like it's going to pieces and gas prices are $1.78 a liter. The sacrifice of praising God. I gave up complaining in Lent as a way of practicing this. And I have to say, I'll confess in front of you, it's not going that well. But I'm trying. I'm trying to practice the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of sharing our resources with others, of giving when we feel like we have no margins, like the widow did, and she was blessed for it. The sacrifice of serving when we are tired and spent and just want to be served ourselves. The sacrifice of leading with joy when we feel discouraged or resentful, when the payoffs of leading are not evident, not clear, and it just feels like a slog. The sacrifice of following with faithfulness and trust when we are feeling rebellious or like it's too hard. All these sacrifices, when the life of faith begins to feel like a burden, you are held fast in the holy place. You are anchored to Jesus, and he is not going to let you fall. So hold fast, because he is holding fast to you. And these daily little sacrifices are the things that in the end will not be shaken away. They are the things that will endure in the kingdom that is to come. And they are all contributing to the glory and to the joy of that city. So hold fast. And finally, the preacher closes with a benediction, because he wants his readers, he wants everyone who is hearing this to remember that this is not and never intended to be in our own strength alone. We are never meant to bear these burdens alone, to live out our faith in our own strength. And so the preacher wisely closes his announcement time the way we also close our services, with a benediction, with a reminder that it is not in our own strength that we go forth, but in the equipping of the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. and he will equip us with every single thing we need to do his will. And he will work within us everything that is pleasing to him, because he is doing this work in us as we cling to him, and he is holding us fast. The psalmist says, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast." So, beloved, even when your grip feels weak, even when you feel like you're slipping, you are still being held. And because you are held, you can love riskily, and you can trust deeply, and you can live a life of costly, beautiful sacrifice, because the good news of Hebrews is not just that we hold fast, it is that we are and always will be held fast in the presence and love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.